does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has it
all. As we head on out to the Payless Liquors hotline, Coach, good morning there in Chicago. Hoping tonight to make it 4-1 on this road trip, 3-1 right now. I've loved the way you guys have played for the most part. What have you liked about this mini road trip where you're 3-1? If you beat Chicago tonight, would be 4-1, and boy, that'd be a nice thing, would it not?
Well, the breaking news here is that you got Cardinal coming on, who's a former member of one of my teams in Dallas. And you got to ask him about the 2011 Finals Game 6, which was the clinching game. And he was a major part of a championship being won, as in the first quarter, Dirk Nowitzki got two fouls of, like, the first 5 minutes. And at the time, we were, I think we were down 5 points. And, you know, what had happened in the series was because of matchups, because of defensive matchups, as the thing went along, you know, Brian Cardinal became a guy who was started to play in games, four, five, and six. And so in game six, Dirk goes out, we're down five minutes in, here comes Cardinal. And we go from down five with 7 minutes to go in the first quarter to up seven at the end of the first quarter. And so he was, you know, plus 12 in the first quarter. And then in the second half, I think he took a charge on, you know, one of their star players. It may have been Dwayne Wade or something like that. And he was another plus five or six in the second half. So he ended up being like plus 15 or 18.
18.
In that game.
And it was 18.
It was a major, major, major part of a championship being won. So, and by the way, it is the custodian, you know, let's pay respect where respect is due, please.
Look at that. Great detail there. Who plus called, 18 who, in 12 minutes.
Who called him the janitor yesterday? Carson?
Yesterday, Carson Cunningham called him
He called him the custodian. Okay.
Yeah, but janitor is frequently where you go. You have any dirt on him, Coach, we could maybe throw with? You know, he's back in the area, son, you know, playing up at Garen. I'm sure you know all of that. But he's going to join us, talk a little Boilers here in the 9 o'clock hour.
He's pure perfection, you know. I mean, only the game is ugly. The results were always good. And he married way above his pay grade, too. So you got to give this guy a lot of credit.
That's great.
Ryan Cardinal going to join us coming up here at 9 o'clock. Rick Carlisle live from Chicago again tonight, 8 o'clock. Pacers so far 3-1 on the road trip. If you don't mind, Coach, I actually want to go back to Friday night. And the win over Golden State, extremely impressive. In that game, Miles Turner becomes the franchise's all-time leader in block shots. You know, Turner has been such a polarizing figure, I feel like, throughout his time here. He's the all-time leader in franchise history in a stat, passing Jermaine O'Neal. I don't know, maybe it's an easy question, but what makes Miles such an elite shot blocker?
Well, determination. He has a great attitude for it. He has a tenacity for it. And I, you know, the whole thing about the polarizing, you know, whatever the polarizing aspects are, really, really and truly, the guy should be, his body of work that he should be judged on is the post's Sabonis traits, because that's really in sort of the recent modern history of him being with the Pacers is him playing exclusively at the five position. And so, you know, since all that happened, you know, he's had three tremendous years, and you know, the team's gotten better each year. And you know, two nights ago in LA against the Clippers, you know, he had another great game. So yeah, he's been a special. And you know, anytime you say all-time leading franchise leader, or however you want to put it, I mean, that's significant.
Rick Carlisle with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Was the message different going into this road trip? I mean, you guys ultra-focused. I thought you've had a couple games that were some of your better games as of late. And like I said a second ago, a chance to be 4-1, Coach, on this road trip would be massive in the standings. What has kind of been the message and the guys staying focused and playing some pretty good basketball here?
Well, staying the course, continuing to work at getting better. I think one of the things that stood out is Siakam has continued to develop his presence in our system, and some minor adjustments as we've gone through this offensively, and then defensively, he's continued to pick up his level, and so. The last three or four games, he's been at a different level there. So more physical, more presence, on the ball, on the boards. And then offensively, you see what he's done. I mean, he really fits extremely well into what we're doing.
Rick Carlisle's with us here, Payless Liquors Hotline. Again, 8 o'clock, final 8 o'clock game of the season. Of course, we'll see about the playoffs, but of the regular season tonight in Chicago. As they conclude this five-game road trip, we saw Jairus Walker give you some very, very impactful minutes the other night. You turned to him early. Doug McDermott, a little bit of foul trouble. Ben Shepherd got the start for Aaron Nesmith, and Walker delivered for you. What specifically did you like from the rookie the other night?
Well, he's given us a window into the future, as to what he can be and what he can do for us, and so. A lot of this has just been the accumulation of a lot of important work that he's done, growth, maturity, finding out what it's like to, really have to earn minutes. I mean, here's a talented kid that has always just been one of the best players. And so, our team, pretty good team this year, with a lot of good wing players, a lot of good big wing players, both with Obi at the beginning of the year, and then the trade for Pascal, and so really impressive, and it wasn't just one thing, it was a lot of things. I mean, he ran, he was physical, he defended. Without fouling, he drove it, he shot it. And once again, the thing that really is maybe truly most special about Jairus is how well he sees the floor and his sense for delivering the ball, pass-wise. I mean, there were two plays that were really elite. One was an interior pass that was like a bang-bang. I got it. No, you got it. And then he hits Pascal for a layup in the first half. And then late clock, ball swings to him. He had already hit a couple threes. Somebody runs out on him. He makes a quick pass to the basket to Jalen Smith, who dunks the ball, as the Clippers had maybe gotten one or two baskets in a row. So, there's a lot of good things. And, now the goal and the whole thing is to sustain, be ready. And, tonight we got DeRozan, who's, been a very difficult player for us and the whole league to deal with. And we'll need him to be ready again.
You expect Aaron Nesmith to be out much longer?
I hope not. I think there's a chance he plays tonight. I can't give you that breaking news for sure. McConnell jammed his ankle a little bit right at the end of the minutes he was playing the other night, so he'll be a game time decision. But there's a chance that both of them will play, and if we're unlucky, then maybe just one, or maybe neither one of them play. But whatever the case is, we got to have other guys ready.
Rick Carlisle with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Coach, you've told us, I want to go back and just follow up on Jairus for a second. You've talked so much this year about, he's gotten opportunities, he's taken advantage of those opportunities, but also while he's been with the G League team or back and forth between you guys and G League, he hasn't been pouting about that. Like, he has understood, I'm going to develop my game, I'm going to have my head held high, and all those different cliches. Is that something, when you guys were evaluating evaluating him and drafting him. So many first round picks play time in the G League now. It's well over 50%. Did you know he had that type of personality, that he was going to come in and work no matter if he was with you guys or the G League? Because not all guys would do what he did this season, and that's stay ready. And then you saw the other night how well he played.
Well, that's true. And you know, so the answer is yes. The, you know, all the intel stuff on him and the draft and background checks and things like that were that this guy was a, you know, really high character guy and, you know, had, you know, multi-levels of talent, you know, with his ability to defend, rebound, all that kind of stuff, you know. And really what I see also now is, you know, multiple positions. I mean, you know, he could play, you know, we drafted him really as a four man. And now the way things are looking, he's really presenting more as a three man that can play four, which is, you know, a really great thing because it allows us to keep size in the game, you know. So, look, one of the things that is a fact in this league is that if you can play bigger, your defense and rebounding is just going to be better. I mean, it's almost guaranteed. And so, you know, when we made the adjustments around Christmas time and, you know, with our approach to, you know, get our defense better, you know, we knew it was going to be a significant commitment, but we also knew that one of the things we really needed to do was to play bigger if we could. And so, though that has helped us. And I think going forward, what you're seeing is that, you know, Jairus as a guy at 6'7", 6'8", whatever he is, you know, if he can be a guy that can play the three and, you know, handle the ball and make plays and shoot it and drive it and defend and rebound and be physical, you know, then we've got something, you know, even more special than we expected.
Rick Carlisle is with us here. Pacers, again, rounding out this five-game road trip in Chicago tonight. It's an 8 o'clock tip. Obviously, our coverage will begin at 7:30. Coach, I want to shift gears a little bit. I remember we had you on probably over a month ago now, and you had watched Purdue and Wisconsin a couple days earlier in a hotel room before one of your guys' games. And it was interesting. I was listening to something that Stan Van Gundy, who was on the call for Purdue's games this weekend, he mentioned watching Purdue and Matt Painter, he found himself like wanting to jot down some of their sets because he sees like some NBA action in what Purdue runs. I know you're obviously locked into your season, but it when you do watch Purdue or when you have come across Matt Painter at all, do you see like NBA-centric stuff with what Purdue does as they get ready for their Sweet 16 matchup?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, a lot of creativity, a lot of movement. You know, they're not just coming down and you know, just punching the ball inside, you know, in the post. And they do a lot of things where they get Edie off of movement where he's rolling right down the middle of the lane and they have action for one of their guards or, you know, one of their forwards. And you got to love the way the guards have played this year. I mean, these guys have been rim attackers. They've been mid-range shot makers, and they've been three-point makers. And so, you know, all that stuff I expect to continue. I don't know how you zone Purdue with Edie in there and the way they move the ball and shoot it. So, you know, everybody's looking on with great interest. They're obviously very, very well positioned. But when you get to this point of the season, I mean, these games are not going to be easy. You know, they're going to be challenging. Like I watched the Purdue game the other day. It was one of our game days in LA, I believe. And, you know, I picked it up, you know, a little bit into the game, and you know, it just got away from, I forget who they're playing, but
Utah State. Was it Utah State?
Yeah, that was just, you know, that
they crushed
turned
them.
Out to be a you know, an enormous mismatch, and you know, credit to Purdue. So, but yeah, but you know, and I've watched these guys quite a bit during the season. I mean, they've just happened to be on some at times in hotel rooms and things like that. And they're fun to watch. And so, you know, obviously wish them the best. And did Indiana State win last night in the NIT?
They did.
Yeah, they did.
85-81.
Good to see them wearing the light blue uniforms again. I've heard that they went away from those for a while, but I mean, how could you possibly do that?
Best unis in college basketball, Coach.
Yeah.
I hate to ask, Coach, is Rick Carlisle with us? We haven't talked to you since you said you were going to settle in on YouTube TV and catch your Virginia Cavaliers
in the
first four. Well, I had to ask. We were talking college basketball. How long did you make it through that game, Coach?
I didn't see the whole game. I just picked it up at the beginning of the second half. And, hey, look, that's a team. I mean, you talk about great coaching. I mean, that team was third in the ACC, you know, during the regular season. And, you know, I was at one of their games when over All-Star break when they won by two. It was like 49-47. And, you know, they have played a style that is just it's a unique style, but it's been special in terms of how they've been able to win. You know, they got two ACC championships, they got a national championship, they got some regular season championships, and so you know, it was an unfortunate ending, and felt bad for them, but. All things considered, you know, getting to the tournament, you know, obviously a lot of people were unsure about that. And I think I talked to you guys about the thing with Indiana State, and, you know, we all were very hopeful that they would make it. But that was a tough night. And so, you know, we'll move on into the off season and, you know, all the stuff that are the new realities of college basketball with free agency, et cetera.
Yep.
So we'll build it up or rebuild it from there.
Nine games to go for the Pacers. It's been an impressive road trip so far. 3-1. They'll try to stretch that to 4-1 tonight in Chicago against the Bulls. Coach, good luck, safe travels, and as always, thank you for making a little adjustment with us and joining us this morning.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care.
Rick Carlisle, Payless Liquors Hotline.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
All right, let's keep the Purdue conversation. Let's have some fun here. Brian Cardinal, Purdue great, joining us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Brian, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we dive into Purdue or maybe your playing career or anything else, we had your old head coach on in the 8 o'clock hour, Rick Carlisle, and he was giving you props about your play in the 2011 NBA Finals.
He said he had no dirt on him.
He even remembered your plus-minus in game six. Do you remember your plus minus in game six of the finals in 2011?
Oh, goodness. I don't. I'm just grateful that Coach put me in the game. That's it. That's all I know.
He remembered a
Dirk got two fouls.
Yeah, and you came in the game. You were plus 18. And like he remembered you were plus 12 in the first half and plus six in the second half. And he said you drew a charge against, he thought, Dwayne Wade in the third quarter. Do you remember the play in the third quarter by any chance?
Oh yeah. I remember the charge, and he wasn't overly happy with me, and Dwayne, that is, and I tell you that whole experience, that whole opportunity to play, you know, Coach having faith in me to put me in the game, and you know, I hadn't played a lot, you know, throughout the playoffs, and he saw something, and he had the trust and faith in me to put me in, insert me, and you know, that's the beauty of sports, right? That's the beauty of staying ready and not knowing when your number's going to get called, not knowing when you're going to get put in the game, and just being ready and playing at a high level, and I'm just grateful again for the opportunity and the trust that he had in me to put me in that game.
Now, Brian, that game was
series.
That game was in Miami, correct? Clinching game for you guys?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, okay, I was in Miami, and I remember we won Game 5, and we went back in the locker room, and you know, back then, you know, Jason Terry, the legend, you know, for the most part, on our closeout games, you know, when whether it was Portland or OKC or the Lakers, you know, we would always try to wear black for that closeout game because Jet said we were going to somebody's funeral. And
love that.
You know, and so we wore black. And again, after that game 5, we just went in the locker room and we were focused. And, you know, we said, we're wearing black. We're wearing one outfit, packing for one night, and let's go get it. And it was awesome.
Yeah, I've been to a bachelor party in Miami. I think it's knocked probably 3 to 4 years off my life whenever that does happen. I can only imagine celebrating a championship on South Beach.
That
the scene.
That night was legendary. And then we get back to Dallas, and Dallas was just a special place. Is a special place, and they were hungry for a championship, an NBA championship, and we partied like rock stars for that next week. And I still remember Dirk threw out the first pitch for the Rangers game, maybe a week after we won it, or 5 days after we won it, or something. And they had made a jersey for me because I was going to go out there and we, you know, several of us were going to go and I couldn't drink anymore. My body was just rejecting just being alive. And I told my buddies, I told those guys, I said, I'm flying home this morning. I gotta go back to Indiana. And he threw out that first pitch and they continued to celebrate. But it was a spectacular time, a spectacular moment in my basketball career and in life in general.
You're the guy that thinks about leaving the bachelor party Saturday night. Can I find a flight to get home here before Sunday?
No, my body was just rejecting everything. And so I just needed to bolt. I needed to get out of there.
He is the one and only Brian Cardinal, of course, Purdue legend, joining us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Purdue guest all week long, all tournament long, and we appreciate Brian's time here on this Wednesday morning. Let's talk present day first. Your thoughts on the opening round weekend and what you've seen from this Boiler team really all season long as they head into the Sweet 16.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, Coach Painter's got them playing at a high level. You know, those guys are hungry. Those guys they're excited for the opportunity for the moment. You know, and they played great all year. And they played great, you know, the opening round. But the beauty of it is you got to keep it going. Somebody's going to have to play special and regardless of the opponent, you know, we had guys step up in that first game, that second game, and it's going to have to continue to happen against Gonzaga and as we continue to go through the tourney.
Brian Cardinal with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. You know, I was going to ask you if you had to be, and you can answer this, if you had to be thrown in the game and you had to guard Zach Edey, who is 7'5", how would you do it? But I also got thinking, you know, you're more of obviously of a power forward at about 6'8". How do you think you would play, you know, Kaufman Wren has had to do this all year. How would you play next to you? How would you compliment, if you were playing today, how would you compliment Zach Edey? Edey, who is so dominant?
Oh man! So you're not asking how I'm guarding.
No,
you're asking how I would compliment.
Yeah,
him.
Yeah. How would you play? Next to him. You know, he's 7'5" and he's so dominant, and everyone's paying attention to him. You know, Kaufman Wren had a great weekend himself.
Yeah. No. You know. Well. You know. This is a lot easier question to answer than asking me how to guard him.
Sure.
Paint has assembled a spectacular team around Zach and Trey's awesome in his own right, you know, Braden and so on. And the four that are on the court with Zach draws so much attention, rightfully so. Those other guys have to be ready to knock down shots. Those other guys have to be ready to step up when they have their moment. And for me specifically, I think I would just be a spot up shooter, a spot up four, ready to knock down the shot. And at the same time, you've got to be ready, because if Zach does miss, they're not coming off very long. And so you got to find your way. You got to battle your way in there to get some of those offensive rebounds and tip outs. And when the ball comes out, you got to be ready to knock it down.
He is Brian Cardinal. He's with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Brian, we had Carson Cunningham on yesterday, and he shared some great stories about your guys' years and specifically that 2000 run to the Elite Eight. It was the unusual, six versus eight seed. You don't see that very often in a trip to go to the Final Four. When you think back on that year, on that run, what are some of the memories that pop into your mind?
Oh, well, that was a great time. We had a great team, and we were a team. We didn't have anybody that was overly dominant, but we just played our tail off. And we had guys that could play their role to a T. And, the biggest thing that stands out in my mind is just, the team's overall focus and desire to get Coach Katie to that Final Four. And that's what sticks in my mind. The games are great. The wins are great. The emotions are incredible, but my focus and it's the one thing that I look back at my basketball career throughout my life, and it's the one thing that stands out, and it's a crushing thought, because I just wanted so bad to get Coach Katie to that Final Four and to help, elevate his stature, to validate his career, right or wrong. Everybody, if you get to a Final Four, it gets you to another tier in people's eyes. It gets you, it validates your coaching career. And Coach Katie didn't need it, didn't want it. He's a great coach in itself, but I wanted to get him there because I wanted people to know how amazing Coach Katie was in my life, how amazing he's been to so many past players and even current players. Coach Katie is a special human being, and I would have loved to have got him to that Final Four and been on that team.
I know you're not, in it certainly like you were as a player, but from afar, what similarities do you see in Matt Painter teams to what Gene Katie certainly instilled for years in West Lafayette?
Well, I think Coach Painter's teams, they're passionate, they're tough, they're gritty, they just have an attitude and a will to win, and that's mentally tough. That plays a significant role when you're out there on that court. You have a confidence and very similar to Coach Katie, Coach Painter, he's confident in his players. He trusts his players, and his players are willing to do whatever they can for Coach Painter and for their fellow teammates. And I think that says a lot. I think that says a lot about Coach Painter and the staff. When you have people that believe in you, to your core, that's pretty substantial. That's pretty impressive.
Brian Cardinal with us, hanging out with us a couple more minutes here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. We're getting you ready, of course, for this weekend. Cannot wait to see what's going to be going down in Detroit. It might be a corny question, but I'm interested in the answer nonetheless, Brian. What would it mean? You mentioned, your relationship there with Katie, trying to get him to the Final Four. If this team, I know any team, and they've been so close, has Painter and company. If this team could make it to Phoenix to the Final Four, what would that mean to you and a lot of the former players, do you think?
Getting to the Final Four, I mean, Purdue has had such an incredible history of basketball, dating back to Wooden and Rick Mount and all of these legends, and the Purdue fan base runs deep. And the passion that everybody has, if we can get to a Final Four, it would just be an amazing opportunity for all of Purdue, right? All of the fans, all of the students, all of the alums, you know, just to celebrate the university, celebrate the coaches, the players, you know, and you know, man, it would be just awesome.
I mean, would it be kind of like emotional? Like, I mean, if they're in the Elite Eight and they're facing Creighton or Tennessee and there's, you know, 8 minutes to go and it's 65-65, like, you guys are sitting on the edge of your seats, are you not?
Oh, 100%, 100%. And, you know, similar, you know, when I was at that Tennessee game several years ago, I was at the Virginia game several years ago, and you know, it's emotional. It's electric. It's awesome. It's, you know, so just so many things kind of, you know, flowing through your body, and you know, you're just, you know, there's so much hope with this team, you know, and it would be emotional for a variety of levels because, you know, because the great thing about Coach Painter is, you know, even though he's got his core players, his, you know, the guys one through however many on the team this year, you know, he does a great job of bringing every former player along with him. And that's the beauty of Paint. That's the beauty of the program and the staff. You know, we're in it with them. You know, we're not, you know, fortunately,
sure,
we're not, it doesn't matter if we make shots, you know, we don't have to be in great shape. That's the great thing about all that. You know, we're a part of this. And he welcomes us back and he gives us great access and he includes us in things, whether it's to some summer alumni game or coming back for basketball games. You know, we're in it. We're just not out there training. You know, there's no pressure on us. You know, we're along for the ride and we're grateful for it.
Brian, if you could rewrite the birth certificate, which I know is a weird question, would you throw Brian Janitor Cardinal, Brian Custodian Cardinal, or Brian Citizen Payne Cardinal onto the birth certificate?
It's a great question.
Great question. You know, at the time when I was at Purdue, you know, there was questions whether I was doctoring my birth certificate because everybody thought I was there for about 10 years. you know, I would probably go with the custodian.
Okay.
You know, but man, I'm excited for the weekend. I think it's going to be spectacular. All the games have been great, and I'm going to be cheering on my Boilers just like everybody else, hoping that they can get her done.
7:39 Friday night. It should be quite the scene, certainly in Little Caesars Arena for Boiler Nation up there. You know, pretty fitting in this run, I guess, similar to that one that Brian brought up with Tennessee and Virginia. Driving distance, certainly, for both of those regional sites. We'll see if Purdue can advance to that Final Four coming up in Phoenix. Brian, can't thank you enough for making time for us. Congrats on all the success, and maybe we'll have you on leading into the Final Four if you don't mind.
Hey, that'd be great. I'm happy to join. Appreciate you guys.
That's the one and only Brian Custodian Cardinal right there, as if he could amend the birth certificate.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Let's go back on out to the Payless Liquors hotline. Will Carroll joining us now. Will, good morning. Yeah, you know, we've joked, usually when we have you on, it's some sort of injury that's going to hurt one of the local teams here, okay? And usually people like your voice, but they really don't want to hear it. So it's good to have you on because KB tells me you're a big baseball guy. And so opening day, you know, the real opening day coming up tomorrow. So good morning. Thank you for joining us. I wanted to ask you this just to start things. What do you make of the Ohtani mess that the Dodgers are dealing with and that whole saga that's been going on for about a week now?
Yeah, you know, the thing is, I don't understand it yet. You know, this is a complicated story, one that really surrounds our entire relationship with sports. And I think people are thrown by it. You know, when you think of gambling, you think of Pete Rose and how wrong he was in doing what he did and the reasons he's still banned from baseball. But yet at the same time, you guys have ads, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, for FanDuel, for DraftKings, for whichever ones they are. And it's really taken over. ESPN has their own sports book. So how do they cover this story? It complicates things, but there's just so many questions. You know, we don't know anything about Ohtani. We didn't even know he got married until he, you know, threw an Instagram post out there. What was this guy betting on? How did he have access to the accounts? How do you have $4.5 million you don't even know you're missing? I'd like to find that out. So it's a story about a guy we don't know anything about. What was this guy theoretically betting on that he was so bad that there was $4.5 million down? And then to make it even more interesting, I was on radio with someone else that didn't really understand the story any better. And they were like, well, why is it a problem? I mean, gambling's legal. I was like, not in California, it's not. This is part of a federal investigation and money laundering and the rest. We have we get all these commercials. It's been a big part of our lives. But yet it's not legal in the two biggest states. So it's still a complex thing that we haven't come to terms with.
Will, one more on the Ohtani front from me. And I think you kind of hinted at it with your answer there, but if you could give truth serum to Ohtani or the interpreter on one question, getting one answer, what would it be?
That's a tough one because there's so many questions on this. I mean, first, I'd like to know what they were betting on. You know, if you're betting on baseball, it's a far different story than if you're just really bad at betting on, I don't know, basketball props. So, that's the one. Is this a baseball story or is this a gambling story?
All right, shifting gears here to opening day for Major League Baseball. Will Carroll, the injury expert, you can find him on Twitter. He joins us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. I think most of our baseball fans reside here in the NL Central. It is an extremely competitive division. If you look at the over-unders for this season, starts with the Cardinals at 84.5 and goes to the Pirates at 75.5, sandwich the Cubs, Reds, and Brewers in between there. Who do you think wins the Central?
I think it's going to be the Cubs. And I think this is the year that we find out just how much a manager is worth. Obviously, the Cubs went out and took Craig Counsell. Tom Ricketts decided he was going to fight off Steve Cohen and outbid him, taking him from a division rival. So it hurt the Brewers a little bit. Pat Murphy takes over, coming up from bench coach. So they basically kept the band together, absent Counsell. And he didn't take a lot of people with him, which surprised a lot of people. So I think the Cubs are just, this whole division, you say competitive, I say mediocre.
Mediocrely competitive?
Yeah, there might not be, what'd you say, 84 was the over on the Cardinals?
Right.
I think it's all going to be right at 500. You can throw a blanket on these teams. I actually think the Pirates are going to be better than people think. We're going to get, do not wait, because Paul Skeens is not going to be in Indianapolis long. And the quicker he's up, the better that team is going to be. There might not be five better pitchers in baseball right now, let alone five better pitchers on the Pittsburgh Pirates. You can throw a blanket over all of them at 81. I would not be stunned to see this in complete chaos at the end of the season. And I think having a great manager like Craig Counsell makes the difference. And I think the Cardinals missed the playoffs because they didn't have that.
Will Carroll with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline on the Fan on this Wednesday. So, I've been strolling through this morning other times because I like baseball as well, Will. And, you look at the American League East, so stay with me here. I would say the overwhelming majority of experts still have the Orioles. If you look at the Central, I would say it's a little bit jumbled with the Twins. I think that's the most competitive, quite frankly. The Tigers could win, the Twins, the Guardians. So I think there's three, four teams there that could fight, but the rest are very chalky. I go to the AL West, it's the Astros. I go to the NL East, we know it's the Atlanta Braves. We've talked about the Central. Overwhelmingly, people do have experts, have the Cubs. You mentioned them as well. And then, of course, in the NL West, we have the Dodgers. I don't know. You tell me, if there was a division winner that wouldn't go chalk, where do you think that would be?
There are two. First, I think the AL West is not going to go as people think. I don't think Houston's going to be as good. I've had my issues with Dusty Baker in my day, but I think he was a very good manager and at his best with the Astros. He learned as he went along, which is not what you usually see. So I think there's going to be a small drop down with new management. We'll see how they do. We'll see whether Justin Verlander's very secretive shoulder issue is a bigger deal. I think Texas is going to go back. I think they may well be in the World Series again. They are a better team than they were last year. The playoffs are a crapshoot. So all you have to do is get there and something good can happen. I also think everybody's sleeping on Seattle. I think Seattle has so much pitching, so much more coming that they're going to be good. And in the AL East, I like Toronto a lot. I think that's going to be a very, very good division. I think Baltimore is the most talented team, but they can't get out of their own way. They've got as much talent going to Norfolk in AAA than most teams do in their entire minor leagues. So collect all that talent for the years they've been tanking, get a new owner who can put big money at it, but you know, get out of your own way and play the talent once you have it. They've got to figure that out. I think Toronto is loaded. Vladimir Guerrero is going to get paid big time starting next year. But this year is the one where I think he puts up numbers and reminds us he might be the best hitter in the family.
Again, Will Carroll, the injury expert, right there on the Payless Liquors Hotline as we get to opening day coming up tomorrow in Major League Baseball. Will, as always, man, great stuff. Thank you.